Thank you for coming. Can you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item 4. May I have a motion to approve the regular business meeting of March 12, 2018, special meeting of March 26, 2018, and special meeting of April 9, 2018. Mrs. Dell'Erba, seconded by Mrs. Jors. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 5-0. May I have a motion to approve the treasurer and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for February 2018 and the internal claims audit report for January 2018 and February 2018. First, Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 5-0. Mrs. Rossi, superintendent's report?
Sure, yes. At this time, I'd like to call up our student council delegates to give their monthly reports. We have one young lady here with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Student council members will be participating in the Polar Plunge next week in Bayshore Marina to benefit Special Olympics. Plans are also in the works for a year-end field day that will generate funds for final charitable contributions of the year. For theater, the 2018 spring musical was one for the record books. Legally Blonde had a completely sold-out crowd for Friday night's performance, a feat that hasn't happened in nearly two decades. We also had an extremely high attendance for both the Saturday and Sunday shows. Mr. Story, Mr. Hugh, and Mr. Leach are extremely proud of the nearly 100 students involved between the cast, pit, and crew. This was a difficult show to pull off, but everyone involved was unbelievably proud of this production. The students exceeded all expectations and put up an absolutely captivating performance. Well done to all who were involved. Fine Arts Department. The art students have been busy creating the costumes and scenery for the Live in the Battle video project that the high school will be creating on April 26th. 15 senior high and 7 junior high art students will be participating in the Nisada portfolio on April 20th and April 21st. They have been preparing for this in January. After watching the delivery of a memory portraits to Syria, 18 National Art Honor Society students have signed on to do another round of memory portraits for children in Afghanistan to be sent in June. Anna Schiff had her artwork displayed at the NYIT College of Architecture and Interior Design Show. The theme was the inside, and the closing reception was last week. Finally, the Art Honor Society induction art show will be on Wednesday, May 2nd. We hope you can stop in to see all the artwork. Science Department. On Friday, March 16th, Babylon's 10th grade research students had the opportunity to present their independent projects at Molloy College's Kathy Belton Science Fair, along with over 400 students from other Suffolk and Nassau County High Schools. 7 groups of students gave presentations on their research projects to Molloy College science faculty members as well as to their peers. All projects were focused on some aspect of green energy or environmental remediation, ranging from using bivalves as natural water filters to controlling algae blooms with natural materials. All students had the opportunity to receive feedback from the judges and their peers, which will help them with their presenting skills and their implementation of the scientific process. This is their first time competing in science. This allows students to participate in the peer review process, which is one of the central tenets of scientific research. This gave students the chance to be more active participants in the presentations of their peers and help to create a sense of scientific community with their peers. One of the projects, testing the effects of copper sulfate on the growth of Lambonia, or duckweed, by Amanda Gilmore, Julianne Moda, and Emma Ward, has been selected as an award winner for the entire fair. This means that they placed in the top 15% of the overall 400 products that were at the fair. They'll be honored at an award ceremony in May when they will find out exactly what place they've won. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Terrific. Thank you, Chair. Okay, on to the superintendent's monthly report. I want to also echo the sentiments. The Old School Musical a few weeks ago was absolutely amazing. Many of us had the pleasure of seeing our talented students. Overall, it was a terrific evening. For those of you who were able to come, either Friday or Saturday night, or even at the Sunday matinee, Row Hall was completely packed. There wasn't a seat available. So congratulations to our amazing dramatics department. Just some other updates. The New York State grade 3 through 8 assessments were administered last week at the junior high school and grade school. I want to thank our leadership teams because I think the administration of the testing went smoothly regarding the distribution and collection. It's not an easy task to administer a whole, administer those tests. We did have a 65% opt-out rate, but special thanks to everybody who chipped in down at those buildings. Definitely appreciated. Advanced placement news. The advanced placement exam review schedule is now complete. I know that Mr. D'Amico has posted all updates to the district website as late as Friday morning. Additionally, we do have a supplemental advanced placement newsletter that will be mailed home to all homes, which highlights existing and new offerings. It contains amazing student quotes to champion the AP initiatives happening in Babylon. At our May meeting, we will have a presentation on the topic of the Wilson Technological Program opportunities. As you may all agree here at the board table, the occupational education programs at Western Suffolk BOCES are really extraordinary. And they do such an amazing job of career and technical education. We're hoping that we can get some students also to the board to explain some of their learnings and their experiences. On to security. Tomorrow evening, we have a school safety forum that will be at 6 p.m. at the Babylon Elementary School. Come out and hear, if your time allows you to, about all of the safety initiatives that have been currently in place and that we look to put in place moving forward. To make mention, just to let you know that the district ordered and received intruder lock sets. So those are being now installed in all doors. So as of the end of spring, the entire grade school and the entire elementary school will be completely installed where teachers can lock their doors from inside the room. The process will begin at the high school this July 1 to replace all interior, all doors with interior locks here at this building. Again, that takes place this summer. Also, on Friday, Dr. Daly and I held a meeting with the MTA, the Village of Babylon, and the First Precinct. It was a very well-orchestrated meeting. We met with all those representatives to discuss our safety concerns regarding the close proximity of the Babylon Railway Station to the high school. Mr. Cerrone was present with us as well. I think the meeting went very well. I was pleasantly surprised to hear that much has been accomplished through the MTA's partnership with the village and that the MTA has been reducing the homeless and drug situation. So hearing that was positive news for us. I think overall it was a very impressive meeting with people coming together as we made each other aware and continued to work towards a solution. Also on April 5th, the Moody's Investor Service released their annual update and credit overview. Similar to last year, Moody's opinion regarding the district's credit worthiness and financial position is in the positive, actually very positive. So I hope... I want to thank Dr. Daly for your good work in that area and inform the board of that. Okay? And that is all I have for news and updates.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the elementary school presentation.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Everybody, this is Principal Travis Davey. Mr. Davey, would you like to present your staff with you today?
So good evening, everybody, and thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight about Babylon Elementary School. When I was first invited with this date in mind, I started thinking there's so many things that go on within the course of the school day that are, I think in elementary school terms, magical. that it would be really awesome if we can invite you all to just visit a full day, walk through the classrooms, walk through the cafeterias. And then I started to think, well, then how do you present that in one brief presentation to tell all that the elementary school is about? And then one day I happened to come upon a lesson being planned that I thought really captured the hard work of our staff as a whole, which is to establish a strong foundation in our students for their future learning, but then also to weave in opportunities that cultivate the wonder in people, in young people, in students that fuel that lifelong learning. And so I asked Mrs. Stacey Apria and Mrs. Alyssa Freeman to join me today. They will in just a minute highlight their lesson for you that brings that to life just a bit, to actually give you a glimpse as if you had been in their classroom throughout the entire process. And just to start, I thought it would be good to show you, just in presentation, what it looks like when a five-year-old walks in to when they leave after just 3 short years at Babylon Elementary School. There's the foundation, as well as the many different ways we cultivate the wonder that is at Babylon Elementary School. So children enter Babylon Elementary School, BES, knowing letters and words in isolation. Many of them do. And so our teachers go through the process of teaching them the letter names, that the spoken word can be represented visually, how you put those letters together to form words. Those words come together to form simple sentences. That's in kindergarten. And in less than 3 years, children are reading chapter books. They're analyzing authors' crafts to determine whether or not what the author they're reading is effective in what they're trying to do. So if you see, this is a cool little feature. At 5 years old, they can handle that. By the time they leave us, they're handling text that looks like that. They understand that those little symbols in the upper left-hand corners, upper right-hand corners, means two characters are talking. They track characters across pages, across series, in 3 short years. At 5 years old, most students enter able to write their names. Their handwriting needs maybe a little bit of work, but most of them can work on their names. But by second grade, they're choosing just the right words to convincingly argue an opinion. So here's a first grade example, actually. Do your parents think pets are too messy? Are you tired of picking up after your dog? Then read Not Norman. This story is about a goldfish who is a great pet.
Cute. Very good.
This is a review. So a student reviewed Sweet Sensations. Sweet Sensations is an ice cream place. If you don't like ice cream, you can get candy instead. It also sells ice pops, and you can get ice cream sundaes in a packet and bring them home, too. And they have cases for birthday parties and any kind of party you want to have. Convincing, isn't it? I'm going to go to Sweet Sensations. As we know, kindergarten students are developing basic numeracy and fluency. And then in a few short years, in second grade, they're solving complex, unstructured problems collaboratively. What you see here is a second grade group of students working with a ramp. But they're also looking at the surface that they drop these cars across and whether that impacts the distance that they will travel. At BES, we expose the students to a world of opportunities outside the classroom as well. That's a real flamingo. Our music program puts kids on stage as they work together to sing beautiful songs. We share some information about cultures around the world in different countries. Here, the students are exposed to different types of percussion available in different cultures around the world. Here, students are taken into a portable planetarium, and they're brought into outer space, so outside this world. Here, they're taught how to apply social skills through the wonders of play and stage. But we also share the gifts of friendships and partnerships. Here is a group of students working in their social-emotional curriculum, working together in song to teach themselves the mantras that they will implement when they're out in a difficult situation, either on the playground or in the real world. Here, Coach Andrews, you may see those big, gigantic buckets behind you, poses a challenge to the students. Can you take multiple colors of buckets and one by one figure out how to stack them without knocking them down into a pyramid. And so they go through trial and error, and by the end of the period, they figured out how to work with each other, utilize the bleachers, and their coach to make a pyramid.
That's great.
We help children celebrate the abilities within themselves, sometimes putting them in situations they've never been in. This is Circle of Dance. All the children learned a group dance, but also then featured specific signature dances of their own. These are kindergartners using their superpowers, their reading superpowers, to read around the building. As many of you know, we have also, during recess this year, taught the students yoga. But perhaps most importantly, our teachers work hard to cultivate wonder in our students. And as you see there, that is an actual sized eyeball featured in a book that Mrs. Apria and Mrs. Freeman introduced to their children. At this point, I'm going to hand the presentation over.
Actual size.
So our current unit of study in reading workshop is nonfiction topic clubs, where the students are working in groups. They were able to select whatever topic they wanted, so they're learning about something that they're truly interested in, which led us to select this book, Actual Size, by Steve Jenkins, to incorporate into our mathematics lesson on measurement. We have authentic learning opportunities for our students. So rather than measuring ordinary objects around the classroom, like a chair or a desk, students explored measurement by discovering the actual sizes of animals, and they discovered through measurement how to bring those animals to life.
Wow, you believe that the great white shark is 20 feet? Let's measure it.
So like Stacey was saying, they do a lot of problem solving. They even observed one conversation when they were measuring a zebra that they were using the wrong side of the ruler, and they were measuring in centimeters instead of in inches, and they were like, oh wait, that doesn't look right. We're using the wrong side of the ruler. So they were having authentic conversations with one another without too much support from us. They were just working and problem solving on their own.
Okay, so before we play this next video, so much growth happens at the elementary school from when they're babies to when they get to us that, in math, they're counting out color tiles or maybe working with pennies, and a lot of it is very hands-on and concrete, and by the time they get to us, we're able to push their thinking a little bit, we're able to challenge them a little bit more. during some of the activities, there was a Goliath frog, which is in here. He's 3 feet long, pretty big frog. And so some of the students we noticed while we were walking around were saying, oh my gosh, 3 feet, so that's 12 plus 12 plus 12. And then they're trying to like mentally add up three tens, three twos, and count on. And I thought that was like a great thing because we weren't asking them to do that at that point. So this next video just kind of shows you the students are building with the masking tape, measuring out a 6-foot gorilla. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of hear a little bit of the conversation and how they kind of took turns. And then you'll see at the end we were able to ask them a little bit higher level thinking skills, some questions.
Yeah,
he said
So as you can see, that's just one example. It kind of brings you into our building real quick to give you a snapshot that at BES, regardless of what classroom you're walking into, we try to create authentic, connected learning, build a foundation for our upper grade levels while cultivating the wonder that would be pivotal to the future of Babylon. And we just wanted to send a big thank you to everybody in our community who continues to support us each year. So
great, thank you,
thank
you very much.
Terrific job. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you very much. We are going to move on, and Dr. Daly's going to give us a presentation, presentation number 6, on the proposed 2018-2019 school budget. Dr. Daly.
Thank you. I have copies of the relative data requested while I'm presenting this evening. If not, I'll make more copies. Mr. D'Amico, do you have any impacts? So, good evening. Thank you, Mr. Panay. Tonight will officially culminate the budget development process. Resolution on the agenda tonight for the Board of Education is to adopt the 18-19 budget. That will be the budget that will be presented to the voters on May 15th. We started this process in January. We've moved through a variety of different reductions to the budget to get where we are tonight. This budget that I'm presenting tonight is going to be presented in the New York State prescribed three-part budget. I will tell you, we did a comprehensive presentation on April 9th, which is up on the district website. That was 32 slides. This is basically a summary. So, the three-part budget, it breaks the budget down into three distinct categories. One is administrative. The second is program, which is basically synonymous with instruction. The last part is the capital part of the budget. That will include things like transportation, things like fringe benefits, the bricks and mortar to a school facility. The total budget, 18-19 budget, is $53,035,064. The percentages that each part or each budget represent, you can see on the right, administrative, 9%, program, 75%. And the capital portion of the budget is 16%. Presented in a visual format, you could clearly see that the program or instructional portion of the budget represents 75%. A closer look at each of the components, the administration. Now, if you have in front of you the function budget, which lists each code by number. This number here, the code, which is not lighting up, is what represents that particular category. And you can see it brings it right through. You'll see your budget-to-budget variance in dollars and as a percentage. Oh, really? Okay. Next is the program portion. Again, we've broken it down by function code. You see the total dollar amount on the bottom. And again, the variance from one year to the next. And lastly, the capital portion of the budget. Total increase year to year, $371,000. As a percentage, that's 4.48%. And a total slide. The total increase, $1.3 million. That represents year to year 2.64%. Upcoming budget dates. Again, most important, you have a budget hearing on May 7th, where we'll be presenting this budget. And then, of course, Tuesday, May 15th, is the budget and trustee election.
Can we move the location?
Oh,
thank you,
Ms. Donaldson. Very important. The vote location is being moved this year from the grade school to the east gym of the high school. That move was a result of security concerns with the inability to control or ask for ID of the people that are coming in to vote. We feel we have a much better control of the situation by moving it up here to the east gym, where people can enter and exit off the entrances off Grove Street. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay.
Questions from the board?
All questions? Good.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Daly.
Sure.
Okay, moving on to committee reports, we're going to start with the audit committee. Mrs. Donaldson?
Thank you. Okay, so the auditors are continuing their work, and we will keep you posted as to when our year-end wrap-up meeting will be.
Okay, great. Thank you. Finance Committee, Mrs. Jours?
Finance Committee, we met on April 9th and helped go over the last budget details. We have nothing planned at this point. Don't worry.
Okay, great. Moving on to buildings and grounds, Mr. Benzavec, you could not be here this evening. Just to note, the board approved the contract awards last Monday for the remaining work to take place this summer. And our next meeting for buildings and grounds will be following the work study on April 30th. Technology Committee, Mr. Montalto?
We have nothing to report at this time. Our next meeting is May 14th, and it's at 7:45 p.m., which will be a work study.
Okay. Very nice. Curriculum, Ms. Stellerba?
We will be meeting at April 24th, next Monday, right, to start discussing the grant process for teachers.
Right.
Either the 23rd, whatever Monday is.
Okay, very nice. And Policy Committee, Mrs. O'Brien could not be here this evening, so Mrs. Razi, you're going to make a comment?
Yes, the next Policy Committee meeting will be Thursday, May 3rd at 3:30 p.m. The only thing really we have on deck is the second reading and adoption of tonight's Policy 4772 on graduation ceremonies.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, moving ahead to board agenda items, Mrs. Razi.
Yes, before we go into agenda items, I just want to make a statement to everybody, just to clarify some details that you might have heard on the outside. I do have my high school administration here with us tonight, as well as Mr. Murphy, our director of guidance. There's been some talk and some, I guess, mistruths out in the community that the school district is cutting business courses. I just want everyone to know that all business electives that were offered and ran this current 2017-2018 school year will continue to be offered and run in the 2018-2019 school year. There is one section of one course that is not running that is called Career and Financial Management. That has been recommended among many of us throughout the budget process as an elective that does not carry much influence, all right? And this happens every year. We do an audit of our course catalog offerings, and we hear from admissions counselors at the colleges what they want to see on a transcript, what they don't. But that is the only thing that would not be running. This might be very different than what was articulated to you, hence the need to clarify the facts, as it concerns us that certain details might be circulating that are simply not factual. In addition, DECA and all business-related clubs are also fully supported, as they were this year and will continue to be next year, by the district and the Board of Education. With that one section not running, I will tell you that sometimes when we make these decisions, it's always looking at enrollment. All right, we have a slight decline in enrollment next year. In addition, the district is better aligning the job responsibilities of our department directors. In the case of the business department situation, both factors were the case. So we have less students applying into such courses, and we're also taking a duly certified business teacher next year who will now assume a full-time teaching schedule in the fall. That person did not carry a full load this year or numerous years past. So that person who is duly certified will be teaching a full course load and will be able to cover all electives that were currently offered this past year. I also must say that there's always been a number of courses in our course catalog that we put in the course catalog each year to gain interest among the students. And so many times we might have one child who signs up for that course. For example, fashion merchandising. I don't think we've run fashion merchandising for quite some time. I'm going to turn it over to either Mr. Cerrone or maybe Mr. Murphy, but this is the case in maybe some of the theories that you're hearing out there. Can I maybe have Mr. Murphy address the audience?
Just to quickly give everyone here a brief snapshot of how the course selection process and how scheduling works. Year to year, we take a look at our curriculum as a team of teachers, administrators, and we try to figure out what would best suit our students and our community. Like Ms. Rozzi was saying, there could be some courses in there in our curriculum guide that might be spoken about by the teachers within their departments and say, listen, fashion merchandising or fashion marketing is still available at this point of the scheduling process. And it really all depends on the number of students who request that course, so that when we come back to the table and have to figure out, you know, which teachers can teach which courses, we have to look at numbers. And it changes every year. So I know as long as I've been here, fashion merchandising has not. But other courses have. And that's not just in business. What I can speak to is the depth and the breadth of our curriculum. I've had the opportunity to work in four different school districts, some bigger, some a lot bigger. And what this board, what this community, what our administration does here is really puts the students' best interests at home. And that is across a wide variety in all different curriculums. We have added programs in our sciences, in STEAM areas, in science research, in technologies with our Project Lead the Way courses. So when you're working with a 9-period scheduled day where students have the opportunity to take a number of different lectures, some things can't run. It just physically cannot happen. We would love the opportunity to have our students here be able to pick any courses that they want and run some classes with two students if we could. But we really have to sometimes make tough decisions. And that's why we rely on the administrative team. But we're really relying on what we get back from the students themselves. That's why I think the change in our scheduling process, where we have the students meet with the teachers on that day and speak their mind and talk to them about what they want and what their concerns are and what their questions are, and then followed up by a meeting with their counselor to go over their schedule as a whole, we really do get a good feel for what the students are asking for. So we might, at one point in the middle of January or on February 1st, have a curriculum guide that offers X, Y, and Z. But after we look at it collectively, we might only be able to offer X and Y because of numbers, because of things like a budget, because of a lot of different things that go into it. So there might have been some rumors out there. There might have been, you know, a very bad game of telephone where it says, you know, students were called down to guidance and we were told, you know what, we're not going to be able to offer the career in financial management course. We would try to keep those students in business. You know, right now, off the top of my head, I can name classes like college account, college marketing, college finance, all courses that run here, all courses that look very good on a college transcript. And I get everything, the end goal isn't college for everybody, but we try to keep it well-rounded. And that includes classes in other areas. We've added classes in the arts, we've added classes in music, we've added classes in science. Every area has added since I've been here, and even with the research I've done before before I even got here. So I think collectively the board and us as administrators with the principals and assistant principals, we really just take a look at, okay, how did those meetings go with the teachers? What do we need? What do the students want? What are they asking for? And how can we best serve them? So yes, there could have been courses that are on there in the beginning, and then after we meet and have to make some very difficult decisions, my team as counselors are told, okay, hey guys, this class, the career in financial management course, is not going to be running. Let's try to move these kids to another business class. See what they haven't taken yet. Speak to them about, you know, why they might want to take a college account, why they might want to take college marketing, and so on. So it's not always easy, and I understand when you change things, things are tough. But I think the decision as a whole is just really we're dealing with what we were dealt with, what the students were asking for, and what we have here in a 9-period day.
Yeah.
You know, we also have 9-period day where some students here don't take lunch. There are a number of districts that are going through things like us, declining enrollment, times get tough, and they mandate a lunch for every student in that building. Because you only have a certain amount of teachers, you only have a certain amount of classrooms, and as you see with the budget, we only have a certain amount of money to deal with. So what I can say in my short time, and I know it's happened in the years before I got here, is the building level administration, our board, and our central office administration, we make decisions, but it's always in the best interest of the students. So things moving forward might be a little bit different without this one course, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be any less rigorous or that we're not going to be able to do certain things like DECA and like other things. I think overall we're really adding to our curriculum, just changing it a little bit, and I think it's more well-rounded.
Thank you.
I don't know what that is.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation. I will reiterate, though, this was not budget-driven. This was based on a declining enrollment, the number of students who signed up for certain classes, and the need to reorganize who are directors and the directors' roles. And with that being said, I want to thank you, high school reps who are here tonight. Hopefully we clarified some of those ideas that are out there.
Okay, so at this point in time, we'll entertain questions from visitors on agenda items. Again, agenda items only, so please approach the podium and state your name. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Katie Hernandez, and I would like to speak on behalf of the career and financial management class. Listening to everyone's presentations tonight and the clarifications, I feel a lot better about what the business programs have to offer, but I'm still concerned about the issue of the career and financial management class being dropped. Our school offers 3 half-year courses in the business department that are only half-year. So this issue has affected me personally because every year I take a half-year course because I am very loaded with other courses, core courses. So this morning I was called to see my guidance counselor to rework my schedule. My business class was being dropped, and myself and many other driven students can only take those half-year courses. In my 4 years of high school, I've taken Microsoft Office, this year College Finance, and I was planning to next year to take Career and Financial Management. It was my only option that was left. In order to fit business, which I am very passionate about, into my schedule, I was forced to drop College Sociology, which is another wonderful course offered by our school. Many other students will not have that option to drop the other courses they take, and they will not only lose something they are passionate about, business, but also lose the important lessons and college credit that that business class has to offer. So I feel that the decision to drop Career and Financial Management should be re-looked at, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to mention one thing. When we look into a course like that, we also get feedback from admissions counselors as to the rigor of those kind of, or lack of, in the selection process too. So there's a lot of thought that goes into this. I know Mr. Murphy gets, and Mr. Serone get a lot of feedback from people on the outside, from people in their field, from admissions counselors, as I mentioned. So there's a lot that goes into this. When we hear from admissions counselors that, a certain course could be replaced by something that looks a little stronger, we have to take that into consideration.
Okay, Mr. Stroh?
Good evening, Robert Stroh. My question is on item number 3, the school calendar.
Yes.
Could you explain, it says about 180 plus 3 days. I get the 3 days of the conference days. Are the 180 instructional days?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so if we use up to four days, we would only have 179 instructional days?
176. Instructional plus the 3 superintendent conference days would bring you to 179.
What's the minimum we have to have with
176
the
by the state. But if we don't use snow days, we'll have 180 instructional days by teacher's contract.
No, because it seems in light of like this past couple of winters. I mean, there's 2 conference days in September.
Yes.
Okay. Instead of having 2 conference days in September, have 1. and have the other conference day down around Memorial Day or something like that, if in case, because in this calendar here, there's no days off in March. So it's not like you can even bank on possibly if it snows on February break. You know, there's nothing, Easter falls late this year. March is a, I'm sure you all know, could be a rough month. There's nothing here to accommodate that. So instead of wasting a day where you're likely not going to get snow, which is basically an event that's going to close the school other than a hurricane, why wouldn't you take that day, the day before Thanksgiving, and put those days later in the calendar?
Because they're contractual. They're in the teacher's contract, two back-to-back days.
So in other words, we can't, I understand it's contractual, but we do, there are board motions made to change contractual things, items in the contract when benefits other people, and it's, you know, and it's prudent. I think it's prudent planning. I find it hard to believe, and I'll get into that later, that April 6th this year that much instruction was done. Okay, so I think this is just poor plan in light of the last couple of winters that we've had. That's all. Thank you.
Other questions from visitors regarding agenda items?
Hi, Donna Crowley, 81 Lighthouse Road. My son is Kieran Crowley. And I'm just following on Katie Hernandez's situation. My son was in a similar situation where he wasn't able to take the college career and financial management class. I was just wondering if they could look into maybe changing or altering, I understand, like the rigor involved in this today's academics, maybe the virtual enterprise or college marketing, making something
that
bringing something
they are running
for a half year. Like, are there half year classes available? It doesn't seem like there's any half year.
You know, that's something available. Maybe the administration and I can, we can look into.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Other questions from visitors regarding agenda items? Okay. Seeing no further questions, any board discussion on agenda items?
I just want to go back to that calendar a little bit. So we have lots of snow days in this calendar.
Up to four. Hopefully we don't use any, right?
Okay.
Right.
And then we have that 24th, if God forbid we need to use it.
Correct.
We have that 24th.
Correct. And what we're doing with the calendar, we're letting the teachers and staff know in that little box, that articulation box you see on the calendar, when those snow day give back days would be, so they know in advance if we have to pull them later next year. So after tonight's approval of that calendar, we'll get that calendar out to all parents and faculty tomorrow.
Okay, any other board discussion regarding agenda items? Okay, seeing no further discussion, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 17, Mrs. Delerva, seconded by Mrs. Jours. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay.
No, we don't have a call.
Passes 5-0. Okay, may I have a motion to approve items 1 through 17? Mrs. Jours, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Okay, discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 5-0.
I just want to congratulate. We have a new elementary teacher here with us tonight, Miss Brittany Muller. Congratulations. Village of Babylon for the gem car that they have just donated to the school.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item 10, other business. Mrs. Rossi.
We have a couple of items. First, I'd like to throw this to Mr. D'Amico. There was a board trustee question regarding mental health and what the district has done. So
we actually had a couple of questions on it, so I thought I'd provide you a little bit of background on that question. So the commissioner's regulations outline the learning standards for health, PE, and family consumer sciences. A mental health education bill was proposed and passed by the state assembly. And that goes into effect in July, this July coming up. And it doesn't really affect curriculum. actually codifies what's already in the state statute. And that's the recognition that health is multidimensional, that there's many aspects to it, and that really mental health education has always been and should always be a part of that health education. So where are we addressing it in our district? We use the Health Smart curriculum in our junior, in our middle level, and senior health programs. And there's a mental health and emotional health piece, that thread that kind of gets pulled through there. So it's already in there. Now with the bill that was passed, I suspect that Health Smart might go back and look at those units and see if there's something they want to adjust to. You can imagine in the elementary school that looks a little bit different. It's about feelings and emotions, how to identify our emotions, how to regulate them, and how to seek help in dealing with our emotions. And that's all part of our social-emotional learning curriculum, the second step curriculum. In terms of how we support students, all of our PPS people have counseling as part of their day or as part of their schedules. Some students are identified through the CSE process, through the RTI process, through self-identification, or they might be even recommended by a friend, or a friend might come to one of our administrators or one of our PPS people and recommend that person seen. Some students are mandated, and they're seen in individually or small groups, or they might be not mandated, but our psychologists, social workers, or guidance counselors are seeing small groups of students. So that's kind of how it's covered. We'll continue to look at it, just because that the mental health education bill was passed. But again, it's not something separate that's really being added. It's really just a recognition of what's already part of those standards. Right.
Thank you very much.
Questions?
Okay, Mrs. Rossi, any other questions?
Yes, there was also recently, I believe there was a question regarding turf field permits, and that's something that Dr. Daly and I have been looking into. I'm going to pass it to Dr. Daly. We've been working with our Office of Transportation and Facilities in looking at how we can track that. For the board members'
sure.
purposes.
We have a master schedule that we could provide you with access to if you'd like to know who has permits for fields on the evenings or weekends. I will only caution you that does at times will change, because we sort of err on the side of caution when it comes to service, and if people call in and we know they're not using it and they want to let another group use it, will typically allow that, but the schedule you will already have will not show the other group, or if, for example, lights may be on for a group that is not scheduled to get lights on the permit, that doesn't mean the group using it is not paying for the lights, it's a different group that we allow to use the lights, and things like that. But generally speaking, I think your objective is to have a sense of who's using the fields, and you will be able to determine that based on the master schedule.
Sure. Will that go electronic at some point? Is that any thought process?
I think you have to. Are you?
So that's the access that would be the electronic
board
piece
member access.
Okay.
You would.
Right. Okay.
I don't think it's something you want, because again, for the reason I just described,
right.
It's only as valuable as it is current
right.
and updated, and we won't be able to make some of the changes that happen in real time.
Right. Okay.
Dr. Daly, how's that gone? Have we been able to accommodate people in Fairway and
to the credit of the groups that submit permits, they always seem to work it out. You know, we've established just from experience certain practices internally. Teams in season have first priority. You know, sports now have you know, soccer used to be a fall sport. Soccer is now, you know, all year. Same thing you could say with baseball. You know, they're out there. But, you know, baseball is typically a spring sport. Soccer is a fall sport. The youth soccer program or lacrosse program, for example, that first priority on the field in the spring. You know, that type of thing. But they've all, to their credit, they've worked it out. And I have to say, Karen Bustamante is just, she makes the thing work. She's constantly on the phones with the organizers of each of these groups.
Thank you. Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other business, Mrs. Rousey? Okay. Seeing no other business, moving on to agenda item 11. Representatives of organizations, please approach the podium and state your name. Representatives from organizations. Okay. Seeing no representatives. Questions or comments from visitors, please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Robert Stroh. Could you tell me what the attendance was on April 6th for students and staff?
It was different in each building. I believe at the elementary school it was 55%. At the grade school it might have been 46%. The high school it was around 40. The same, right? 41-42%.
Students or staff?
Students.
What was the staff attendance?
District-wide, we had a total of 31 faculty and staff members out. That includes aides and monitors.
How do they account for the day that they took off?
If they had a scheduled vacation, they had to supply my office with evidence of plane tickets and itineraries.
And how would we get compensated?
As in past practice, they had to either use a sick or a personal day, which was a past practice from years ago that the district employed.
Is using a sick day for that purpose legal?
Yes.
It is?
Yep.
Okay. Just want to make sure. My next question is about the interior locks in one of the buildings. I thought we already had locks that were. Could be locked from the inside.
They're finishing it. Dr. Daly, do you want to mention that?
I think you're referring to the elementary school, which is already complete. There were 15 classrooms that had not been completed at the grade school. The lock sets have already been ordered, they're in, and I believe we're installing them as we speak.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from visitors? Please approach the podium. Okay, seeing no further questions, future board meetings. Okay, just special to note, we do have a special meeting scheduled for next Tuesday, April 24th, 4 o'clock here in the library, and that's the Western Suffolk BOCES budget vote and trustee election. So we need to make sure we have at least a quorum. So we have to be in touch with the... Just to kind of maybe before you leave today, we can talk about can you be there, can you not, and then we obviously have a couple additional board members to check, but we have to have at least a quorum for that, and that'll be at 4 o'clock, very quick, so we need to be present. And then we do have a work-study meeting on Monday, April 30th, and that will be 7:30 here in the library, and then we will have the public hearing on the proposed 2018-2019 school budget, which is a regular business meeting, and that will be on Monday, May 7th, here at 7:30 in the library. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn? Okay, Mr. Montalto, seconded by? Okay, Mrs. Jors, all in favor? Okay, passes 5-0. Thank you so much for coming out this evening.